Blog Talk Radio.
This is a message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Travel increases your chance of getting and spreading COVID-19. Take steps to protect yourself and others. Wear a mask that completely covers your nose and mouth. Masks are required on planes, buses, trains, and other forms of public transportation traveling into, within, or outside of the U.S. and in U.S. transportation hubs, such as airports and stations. Stay at least 6 feet away from others. Wash your hands often, and watch for symptoms of COVID-19. When traveling back to the U.S., you must show a negative COVID-19 test result or have documentation of recovery from COVID-19 before boarding your flight back to the U.S. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19travel to learn more about travel requirements and recommendations. This is a message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Travel increases your chance of getting and spreading COVID-19. Take steps to protect yourself and others. Wear a mask that completely covers your nose and mouth. Masks are required on planes, buses, trains, and other forms of public transportation traveling into, within, or outside of the U.S. and in U.S. transportation hubs, such as airports and stations. Stay at least 6 feet away from others. Wash your hands often, and watch for symptoms of COVID-19. When traveling back to the U.S., you must show a negative COVID-19 test result or have documentation of recovery from COVID-19 before boarding your flight back to the U.S. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19travel to learn more about travel requirements and recommendations.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Culture Shock Geek Entertainment Reports. Late night, Monday night, motivating, make money Monday. I suspect, a.k.a. Be True. Thank you for tuning in to the late night edition. A dear friend of mine, awesome member, my moderator, right, Michael, of the James Franco Project, is guest hosting with me tonight. Hopefully, you all will call in. But we will be chatting about what motivates us this holiday season and hot topics, and of course, James Franco and what Michael is up to in the Washington, D.C. area. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am fine. I just was, like, amazed at seeing James in the news, you know. Because, you know, I know that he went he disappeared for a while. And, you know, I got to say that I am proud of James for admitting, you know, his transgressions, you know, and it makes me like James even more, you know. And, I wish nothing but the best for James. And I'm crazy about James. You know, I'm really crazy about James and his movies. I think I've seen just about every movie in the public library system with him in it. But and I know there are more movies to see with James. But, you know, in general, I'm very proud of James for admitting his transgressions. And I just can't wait to see how James grows in the future.
Yes. I agree with you. I mean, you're one of the original members.
Yeah.
It was created in June 2017, and I don't even know if I had any idea you loved James like I do, and like many others, but I'm just amazed. I have learned many things about James from you. And
yeah,
it's good for James and his family and those that are still with him to know that he does have a family, that he did bless this. James and I, we've never met in person, but we've been online friends for the longest before I created this group. Well, our group, because it's a we thing, it's a family.
Mm-hmm.
I had his blessings, and I just hope soon he will come into the group. I had thought about asking you all if you wanted to make it public, but I believe it's probably still good to keep it private. And hopefully he would come in and, you know, get back out doing things and teaching and help coach others and make them and I love his artwork. I love the art that I have seen. I love his artwork. I would love to get a couple pieces.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to read one of his novels. What do you call it? It was adopted into the movie. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I mean, I'm just in awe of how talented James Franco is. I mean, this man is a teacher. I would love to have him as a teacher. You know, I would love to have him as a teacher. I imagine that his classes would be probably big, but yeah, but I would love to have him as a teacher. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm here in Mississippi, and he has made a few films here, and he's worked with many of my friends here on Sound of the Fury, As I Lie Dying, here, and but he had the acting schools in New York and in California, which you all have, you know, heard about scandals and all, but like James said, he didn't have anything to do with selecting students, and I always loved to share. Everything was always on camera, also. I loved to, he would post sessions on his Facebook page, and I inspire, too, to work with him and study with him also, because that's been a goal of mine. But yeah,
and you know
very
what, the
much
funny thing,
talented.
And the funny thing about it, Bethany, I was just watching a couple of days ago a movie with him, and it was produced by Sylvester Stallone. It's called Homefront.
And one of my favorite movies. And yes. And what are your thoughts about that film?
Yeah, I think basically James' character plays the villain, and he plays it really well. He plays like he's from the Deep South really well, and he's just a killer in the movie,
right.
and a kidnapper. And eventually, we all know, you know, how basic movies go. The villain does not, you know, win. So it's a really good movie.
Right.
So one of those movies where you get to see how, what is it called, James' acting abilities. You know, it's just like he doesn't just play the silly college impulsive boy. He can play anything, and for that I admire James.
Yes. Yeah, that character, that's an underrated thing. You're right, and it executive produced by Sylvester Stallone, and then the other actor in the film, oh my goodness, I have the DVD.
Winona Ryder.
Winona Ryder then, because she's his sister, right? That character was a villain. That character was a villain. He showed his compassionate side for his family. You know?
Yeah.
He showed like this loving side to his family, but then he was so evil.
I saw another movie with James in it. And Kate Hudson was in it. It was about a couple who was poor, and they were living in somebody's basement overseas, and they found a whole bunch of money. And it comes to find out that this money was blood money. And the person came back looking for them. I can't think of the name of the movie right now. But really good movie. Really good movie. James did a good job of playing the victim. And yeah.
The victim or the villain?
The victim.
Okay, he was the victim in that one, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, because in that movie.
Ever seen?
What?
Uh-huh.
What movie did you not
because
see?
Because in that movie, what?
No, because in
Vault.
That movie. Oh, uh-huh. What's the name of it?
The Vault. The
Vault,
the movie,
okay.
The bank
yeah.
movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. But what were you saying about the Kate Hudson?
Well, he did a good job in playing the victim, and I'm trying to think it was somebody else famous in it too, but really, you got to see, you know, how his acting abilities, you know. And I want to see James in some movies with some bigger stars. I know that he was in Eat, Pray, Love and such. That was a long time ago. Yeah, it was with Julia Roberts. Yeah.
That was good. Yeah. Denzel Washington. I would love to work with Denzel Washington. But I would love to see him in like a film with Denzel or Samuel Jackson.
Oh, you know, I would love to see him in a movie with Vivica Fox.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah, but, you know, I think...
That should be a romantic comedy. That, a film with he and Vivica should be... We have a caller. Wouldn't it be funny if it's James? He and Vivica in a romantic comedy. That would be hilarious. And like Bill Bellamy, that would be funny. We have a caller, too.
Oh, how
Hello,
exciting.
Welcome to the Shark Entertainment Report. Hello.
Hey there. Hey, this is Hotep calling.
Hi there. Yeah, we're doing great. How are you? I'm Beth and
I'm
Michael.
Cool. Hey, Michael. Is this Michael Jackson
Hello.
In the building?
No.
It's just Michael. Okay. You know, I need an autograph. Yeah. But yeah, sounds like you all are having fun. That's cool. I saw the topic as what motivates you. I didn't hear the rest of the conversation, so I apologize if I missed out on, you know, some of your insights earlier.
We're just talking hot topic. We're talking about James Franco coming back out. But we definitely would like to know what is motivating you this holiday season as we prepare for 2022.
Yeah, for me, it's insights, which is the ultimate objective of wisdom and knowledge. And James Franco, if we look at it from the insight perspective, the inner sight is really what he's doing is what has happened in male-dominated societies for a long time. Us males tend to take advantage of females and even some other males, and it's not surprising what he's doing. It may be disappointing because he should be mature enough to handle his gonads without going there, but this is, you know, male-dominated system, so... I'm continuing to try and have insights to understand, because I think the more we have insights, what happens is things won't surprise us as they occur, which means we can make better anticipate business, financial, educational, physical scenarios in thought experiments, and then say, okay, this is probably going to happen, and more likely to have success in our judgment calls, you know. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Right. And mine is reflection. So insight and reflection goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
What about you, Michael? Yeah.
Well, I mean, for me, okay, we're talking about, like, what motivates me for the holiday season. You know, just to try to just to try to treat people the way I want to be treated. I mean, that's what everyone should do, but I just want to be able to grow spiritually, you know, grow spiritually and learn to love people a little bit more, you know, love a little people, because I'm telling you, loving people is hard. It is hard. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a struggle that needs to be to happen, because we need some love in this country and in this world, period.
Hey, Michael.
Right. And I'm a person that likes to like to express and say I love you, but I understand when some people just do not believe it. Like, that's what you say.
Yeah.
It's easy to love. I think we liking people, liking certain people, and being likable. You and I talk about this. And what were you saying? What is your name, guest?
Hotep.
Okay, and what were you saying?
Well, what you all are both saying is very interesting because over the past year, I've kind of felt that those sentiments aren't the sentiments of America, nor
no, it's not
region that has utilized most of our darker humans as cattle and as leverage to get power. So giving love to people that are sociopaths and psychopaths, intuitive, because we're not going to get it back, and we haven't in America in over 400 years. It may be time to give love to ourselves and people that are in our corner, no matter what their color, right? But to the other folks, it might be time to proverbially slap them, whether it's with words or in a physical, because I don't think certain groups are going to give the love back at all.
Oh, no, I believe you. I hear what you're saying. You know, I really hear what you're saying without saying, but, you know, it is true what you're saying, sir. It is.
And ironically, we were talking about James Franco, and he play characters just like you mentioned, psychopaths, sociopaths, nice characters, victims, but then also the ones that you just described, the ones that shock, that just shock each of the characters. We just talked about in Homefront. He's very diverse in playing characters that give us a wake-up call.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yes, and right before you called OTAP, Michael, well, you probably heard Michael, you mentioned, you know, we have, like, speaking of James Franco, the immature side, but Michael had said he's proud of him for finally coming out during the end of the year. Maybe James has been doing some insight and reflecting, and that's one reason why he decided to just let me talk during this interview and just coming out and discussing the situations that have been scandalous.
Oh, he came out and admitted to the issues?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know
that.
He had, yes.
Yes, on Sirius Radio, he had an interview with, what is the reporter's name, Michael?
I can't share it
on social media. And so the interviewer asked him really good open-ended questions, and James gave him answers that we needed, and answers that he needed to share with us.
Wow.
And I'm sure glad that he in an insightful way, laid it all out, and I'm sure he'd feel much better now.
Mm. Are there answers that could land him in jail?
To be honest,
they're answers that cleared him. To be honest, I believe they're answers that gave clarity and that clear him more so, not answering the questions and not giving us an insight of what actually happened. That was about to get him in some trouble, but they were answers that gave clarity.
Okay.
Yes. So and they were sincere answers. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So hopefully, when you see the interview, you would share your insights on that, on your thoughts.
Yeah.
I had no idea he did that. We were having a lot of family meetings today and just going over some, you know, new AD, because it's not really 2021-22, of course, some plans and provisions. But, yeah, you know, because they cut the timeline, so we wouldn't dig deep into our past to determine, oh, we're the foundations of Judaism, et cetera, and with James Franco. I often give more slack to the individual. For example, when people say James Franco has done X or the Bloods or Crips have done Y, I look at the bigger society.
Right.
How do we expect people to do better than the secret societies and then the bombing of nations? You know, it's like, hey, you emulate your nation. So James Franco and Crips and Latin Kings are trying to do what Elon Musk is doing, get paid and get some poontang.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm glad you brought all that up. Yes. Yes. That is so true. So some of the family talks, that I know they're, you know, private talks, but they're probably, can you give us an outline that probably would be good for those of us that are doing our best to be motivated for this season going in 2022? Do you set New Year's resolutions, and or do you just reset goals personally and with your family? Just an outline, because I know it's, you know, private business, but something that people, I think basically we need to learn like some basic outline of things and have more meetings and gatherings, even with family members that we might not.
Yeah.
Like, might to say, maybe.
To be around, yeah.
Not, it's so hard to love.
Yeah.
You know, but it's important to bring the closeness.
Yeah. Well, thanks for asking. And by the way, European and other cultures, even when they don't get along, they get along in order to extrapolate power from other groups. So if we have family members that are a bit of a problem, we still want to have meetings to discuss certain things. So for us, what I first did was I determined the main categories that I needed to focus on: finance, health, education, physiology, psychology, technology, black-centric, pan-Africanism, and a few other areas. And then I looked at the areas that I was weak in, and I, you know, came up with a list, and then the areas that I was strong in. And on 0 to 10, I generally give them a number so that it's not just qualitative considerations but quantitative. And then we had a meeting, my wife and children and I, and we did similar stuff, but for each person, okay, what is child A strong in? What is child B weak in? And then we went on to my wife and me, and then I asked everyone to close their eyes and point to people if such and such is true, so that things weren't, you know, tainted. And so when they pointed, in some cases, no hands pointed at me. And sometimes I thought it was interesting because I thought the hands would, and vice versa. Sometimes hands pointed at, you know, and then we discuss, well, why did you think I should not be X or Y or Z? Or why did you think your older brother is A, B, or not C or D? And then we just discussed it more and came to some conclusions for this so-called new year, which areas people need to work on, which areas people are best in, who should handle X. Even if the person is younger, they may be better at software development, or they may be better at handling street situations because they may have had some experiences, you know. And so we have a pretty good direction. Of course, things don't always work out the way we all plan, but at least we have some foundation to go on. Yeah. And people might take a similar blueprint and use that, or they could take pieces of what I said and make their own. They might say, okay, well, I don't need that, but I need this and this and this, and create their own. But we got to have plans, folks. Every day I wake up and I write out my to-do list, and every night I try to review it. And the next day, to-do list, and I email some of it to my children and my wife, and they send me theirs. We have to run our lives the way businesses run their lives, because being alive in a capitalistic system is a business. And if you don't take it as a business, you'll become a victim.
That's true.
That is so true. So that's a blueprint. That is good. That is definitely good. Definitely reach
not as
there.
Good as Jay-Z's blueprint. It won't settle a billion, but, you know, it's mine.
Right.
You got all the cash.
Right. And I love that in the meetings. And mental health is so important, but some people, you know, shy away from talking about it until it's, and if we dealt with mental health, we would have lesser crimes and lesser homicides, I believe, too.
Yeah. Before Michael says his thing, we don't deal with mental health because historically the weak in our, on the plantation were disposed of. If you were proven not to be physically or mentally strong, you could be sold off, you could be killed, right? So if we put on a good front, that we're good. You know, we're good. I'm good. But also we're very male-dominated. So men in our society aren't supposed to cry, aren't supposed to hug their sons while you walk down the street. So then the men, it's an extra burden because, yo, man, yo, what's up? No, I'm good, dog. What? Right? And that leads, I think, to breaking, because if you don't deal with mind and mental health, it doesn't mean you necessarily need to be in an insane asylum. It may just mean you need some help in category A of negative thoughts that you had never considered, because maybe you went through some stuff as a child, or you've seen a lot of music or heard that's negative, and you subconsciously, like Sigmund Freud discussed a lot, taken that in, and you're showing signs and don't know where they're coming from. Yeah, we need a lot more mental health. That'll, like you said, deal with a lot of the other issues, but since we're so macho and hardcore and afraid to show weakness, so don't even think about it.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, I don't know why there's such a stigma for males to not, show emotion. Because I was just thinking about this today, you know, it kind of makes me wonder something, you know, if the reason why, you know, if you think about it, you know, who gets into trouble with the law more, males, you know, who has the anger problems, you know, males, you know, who's more likely to, you know, crazily, you know, whatever, it's males, because I think society is teaching males to not express themselves emotionally. And I think that it might be time for us to get to encourage males to be more emotionally honest. You know, I was thinking about that as you were talking, sir, you know?
Yeah, you remember, our community is very anti-LGBTQ+. So what happens is, if I talk like this in most black settings, some people...
You're breaking out. I can barely hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I okay?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, yeah. Our community, unfortunately, is extremely anti-LGBTQ. So what that means is that if a male expresses what some macho guys consider feminine, he is told, oh, you got some feminine energy. What's wrong with you, right? And that's supposed to signal to everyone in the room that this guy is gay or bisexual. And what that then means is that nobody's going to listen to the insight or wisdom or understanding or your pain because you've been labeled. So we have all these vices on why we don't support and love each other, instead of realizing that much of what we have today comes from the transatlantic slave trade and whoever survived in the country.
Okay, you're fading a little bit, O-Tap.
I'm sorry?
Your voice, it's clear now. You were fading out.
I'm sorry.
Now, O-Tap, where are you from? What country are you from again?
Yeah, I'm originally from out of America. I lived in the U.S., the Caribbean, et cetera, in Canada. And I ended up, you know.
You're breaking up again.
You,
I'm so sorry.
You're originally from where? As soon as you say where you're originally from, it fades out. You're originally from where?
Caribbean. Correct.
Okay. That's what I thought. Where? Bahamas, Jamaica?
Jamaica.
Oh, neat. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've been to Bahamas twice, and I know talking with the locals, the Bahamians expressed to me that islanders believe that they were stronger-minded, stronger-willed, because they were able to better than some Americans. I mean, that's what some Bahamians had told me. You know, that just through history and being strong, that they felt that, not that they just felt that islanders have this certain strength. Like, I'm in the Deep South, right? And my Michael's near D.C., we all feel we have this certain type of strength from our culture.
Yes.
So as you mentioned history earlier, I thought about my discussions a couple of times I had been to Nassau with the other Bahamians that talked with me about their pride and their culture, just feeling a certain strength of just surviving it. Are you an educator or a psychologist?
I think we may have lost him.
He's still on the screen, so maybe he's working on the sound. We will be concluding the show soon.
So
we will. So instead
back.
Of doing an early.
I think he's here.
Yay,
he's back.
But you're back.
Okay. I don't know if it's Alphabet Boys, but yeah.
Since we're on since this is like a vacation for many, we're late night tonight. On Wednesday night, we'll be late night at 11, too. We'd love for you to return and talk with us on Winning Wednesday. So, you know, we're being reflectful and learning how to like and love ourselves and each other more. Definitely would like to know what you think about how to get that winning attitude, or if you have that winning attitude, keep that winning mindset. How to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
some of us can get motivated and then,
Yeah. And what actually is winning? In other words, how do we say, okay, we're winning. What are we winning? Identify what it is and how to get there. Because I think sometimes I do this also, we all do. We have an objective, but haven't thought really of the conclusion sufficiently to determine whether or not it's something we want to go. I got a call tonight from a guy that wants to do some work with me. And after I calculated in my mind, thought experiment, and analyzed his circle and his personality type, I realized that working with him is going to end up as a street fight.
Oh, wow.
If anything goes wrong. Because that's how he rolls. So I said, okay, let me just pull back. Because, you know, we got to look at who we're working with and think about, this is what companies do. They'll look at your credit score. They'll look at your personality type. They'll call your references. But we tend to just have open arms. And anyone, as long as they say something that sounds good, we got to really analyze and say, okay, this is a new year coming. Do I really want to work with John Bob down the street? Okay, this is his background. He's a coon. Oh, okay. He's a street dude. Okay, how will he handle if I don't agree with him on X, Y, and Z? Okay, last person he put in a body bag. Interesting. You know? So, yeah, it's very tough, but we got to do it. Yeah.
Right. And the circle. You make a good point, the circle. And I know mentors of mine, and you probably have heard some, and you probably sound like you think this way, too. The five people you spend your most time with says a lot about you.
Yeah.
So, wow. What industry are you in? Are you an educator or a psychologist?
I'm in education and various types of production and media, typically.
Oh, cool.
Oh, great. Definitely would like to effectively network with you. Look, here I go. You're right. So I see what you're saying. Like, people would jump up and say, I want to work with you. Let's work together. And no background check, nothing. They do the show for 11 p.m. on Wednesday. Be consistent this weekend. You call back. The live stream has stopped, so this conversation that you and Mike are not having is not on air.
Yeah, it's not streamed. Okay.
So on Wednesday, call. Yes. So on Wednesday, please call us and share your perspective on how we can win in 2022. And that is a good point. We can avoid some trouble. Your advice sounds a lot like my late mother's advice, who passed away in 2017 at age 86.
Wow.
You know, the company you keep, and she, and something she stressed to me, you surround yourself with good people and good friends, and you be a good friend. She said, you, and sometimes your friends can be your family of, you know, a family of friends, your family. family.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, she stressed that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And something, and you mentioned something Mother always says. She said it's good to have, she used to say, it's good to have book sense, street sense, and common sense. And you keep hitting all those points.
Yeah, yeah. Your mom was on fire.
They have common sense, but right, she said, book sense, common sense, and street sense. You gotta have, you gotta have enough and all.
Yeah, and listen, we have people in our community that have strengths in those areas, but guess what? One thinks they're better than the other. Well, I got my degree from Harvard. What are you? Well, I was in jail for 20 years. I'm an OG. Well, you can't be with me. Well, you can't be with me, nigga, because you ain't got no street sense. Well, fuck you. Well, fuck you, too. And they all walk off.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Good point. But
crazy.
But then you make another point. There are cultures, they bring that together. So they bring all that together and pull out the best and all of that.
Yes, Catholics. The gangsters work with the Catholic Church, right?
Uh-huh.
They all work together.
Right.
Some of the priests are raping children, some are not, but they extract wealth from everyone else.
Oh.
Meanwhile, we argue over who's a street OG, who's a geek, who's straight, who's sleeping with who, instead of, look, how can we come together and build a spaceship or build at least some drones that we can fly and navigate and shoot footage from our region.
Exactly, and build more urban and urban gardens and help our farmers also because we need more food. You know, you're right. We need to come together and create things and recreate things.
Yeah. I'm in a group with black farmers.
Yes, and you're right.
Yeah, I'm in a group with black farmers, by the way, and they're trying to, some of them, figure how to get the food to the consumers. There's no portal, digital, no bricks and mortar location where a black farmer can sell directly to a black consumer, a national portal. So 50 farmers, if they have to ship their potatoes, it costs more if you do it individually. But if you do it collectively, you negotiate, and in fact, you may buy the trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can ship potatoes, tomatoes, and mail. But we have this lack of unity because, well, I'm better than you because I own 10 acres. Well, I own 100. Well, I own 2,000, and I'm light-skinned. Well, I own 5,000, and I got 5 degrees. Fuck you. And there we go. It's just Willie Lynch.
But then somebody could be a trucker and say, well, I have trucking experience. I don't have any trucks. And somebody could say, well, I have a fleet of trucks. You're right.
Yeah.
We need to work together.
Get the
vegetables grown and get them transported to the one.
The
everyone needs food.
Everyone wins. Mm-hmm. Everyone wins.
Right.
This is basic from thousands of years ago. We're missing thousands of years ago the common sense, and we're in 2021 AD, and we still can't come together. Meanwhile, the ancient Egyptians worked together and became an empire. Meanwhile, the ancient Nubians worked together and became an empire and eventually took over parts of Egypt. But here we are still trying to figure out how we're going to get potatoes from point A to point B nationally with all the internet, cell phones, with all this stuff.
Right.
Because of our mindset, that lack of unity. It's very difficult, but hopefully we can overcome that, you know.
We will.
Yeah,
and we need to do it quick too. I mean, I know it's been a while, but we need to do it quickly. So that's great. I joined the Black Farmer Facebook group, and like I said, I'm here in the agriculture state of Mississippi, but farms are everywhere. I noticed some of the members in the group are in New York and in the D.C. area. Farms are everywhere. And my guy family is a farming family, but, you know, they don't farm anymore. But farmers and farm families also stay in business also.
Yes, yeah.
All farm families, especially black farmers, like you were saying. Yes. So, wow, this is amazing. We are so glad you called.
Oh, thank you, man. I'm glad I had the opportunity to communicate with you all. You know, I'm getting older now. I'll be retiring in a few years, so my timeline is limited, so I'm trying to do as much, analysis and output verbally and textually as possible, you know, so.
And we also, wow, you mentioned another thing, how to be successful in a relationship, too. You and your wife, you all met. I mean, that's a whole other topic when we talk about love and relationship. I love how you talk about how you all manage the family, and you can hear how you manage your marriage, too. That's so big shout out to you all regarding that.
Yeah, thanks, and that's a challenge because, of course, male-female dynamics and thinking, my wife is Afro-Latina, so that is also both a positive and a challenge. But it is something that is overcome. You know, Afro-Latina culture and females have a different vibe from Anglo-Caribbean and African-American female. There's sometimes a different type of communication, speed and aggression that my culture doesn't generally do. And it's very interesting to discuss it with her and overcome it and see how we can work around it. It takes dancing, verbal dancing, salsa and hip hop in order to overcome. But the big thing is the children. So the bottom line.
Yes. Great. That's an awesome blueprint.
I'll definitely put it on the calendar.
Hot topics. So if there are always breaking news, but Wednesday we'll talk about, you know, that keeping that winning attitude. It's Win Wednesday, and managing our families and business relationships.
Could be my end where I'm breaking up and I'm thinking it's you, but sometimes when you talk, it's broken up. Yeah. I don't know if Michael hears that.
I hear. Yeah. And, you know, what'd you say?
I'll be listening to you.
And, you know, I also, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, hear you really well.
Okay. You know, I really do like watching. And, you know what's going on in the United States, it really helps me to appreciate shows like, and don't laugh at me, sir. It helps me to appreciate shows like The View, you know, because – I love The View, and I like how some of the hosts are not afraid to speak out against the powers that be, and it's just like, you know, you hear people who are so cruel to them. If you go on YouTube and you see the names, you know, you hear people calling them libtards and stuff, but you know, if we make fun of them for their political beliefs, we're being un-American, you know, and it just supports to what you were saying, sir, that, you know, about this separationism, we think we're better than each other and we're not, you know, and you know, I personally believe that there is somebody, there is something who is shaking up the jar, because notice how when you have a person or people to try to make a difference, there's always somebody pointing a finger. Like, for example, Black Lives Matter. Oh, that's a terrorist group. And all it does is add more fuel to the fire, like Fox News, especially Fox News, because they crazy. They're crazy. No, you know, there is somebody, and it's hard to find out who, but there's somebody that does not want us to get along. There's somebody who is benefiting from our
division and pain.
It is. Like a good example, Christopher Rufo. I don't know if you heard about him. He's the guy who added fuels to the fire of the critical race theory being taught in school. And I know that he went on Joy Reid's. I don't know if you're familiar with Joy Reid. Yeah. But
he
went on Joy Reid's show, and she did not let him get a word in because everything he was saying was contradicting himself and lies. And it's just like, you know, and she even quoted him. It was, I think it was one part of the show where she quoted him. He said, I want to bring in critical race theory so Republicans can win the 2024 race. You know, it just lets you know how evil and how people are definitely benefiting from our disharmony.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And if both parties should not be doing that kind of thing on divisiveness, because what we're dealing with, like OTAP mentioned earlier, we all need each other. And the situations we've gone through could care less our socioeconomics. How much money we have, don't have, what party we belong to. We need each other.
See, the Anglo-American can afford to have disharmony because they have a lot of support bases, law enforcement, FBI, the banks, the hospitals.
Right.
They have that. So if they have disharmony,
right,
they have a system
right
that will support them. We do not tend to have any of that support base. So if we don't work together on critical areas, I'm not saying people shouldn't be paid for their skills. However, why not
right
pay someone black, or why not barter? Because if we don't do that, then we end up falling so low, like we see what happened with celebrities that cross the lines of the law, and they end up with losing their entire empire.
Like
the, you know, the Bill Cosby's, and you know, yes, and like you mentioned regarding farming, like you mentioned banks and hotels, we need to be working. More of us need to be working together, investing in banking and grocery stores and retail development. And hey, being the next Elon Musk or Elizabeth Holmes, being the next one of those with
minus
the trouble.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
You know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I was with my son for a while today, and we walked in my community, and basically nothing is owned by people that have our skin tone. We went to a Latino, so-called Latino community, and they own 95% of what we saw right in my own community. So with Chase Bank and Citibank right there, all over in both communities, so why aren't the banks themselves saying, look, people, you live here. We're a trillion-dollar bank, approximately. Why don't we show you how to identify your best minds that have business ideas, and we will provide $500,000 to each person. Let's choose 10, right? Why won't they do that? The same question that Michael had, right? Similar. And the reason they won't is because if we are empowered, they would lose power, they meaning those banks, because we would open our own banks. So then the question is, well, if they don't do it for you, how come they do it for Puerto Ricans and Dominicans?
Their bank.
Yep.
Right. My I'm glad you mentioned that, because my neighbors are from, even neighbors for the past couple of years, and I'm just amazed at the unity and the teamwork and that they have, you know, all guys just working together. And I know everybody don't like everybody 100%, but they work together and making it happen, you know, inspiring their family back home.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and Jackson, I'm in Jackson, Mississippi, and it's one of the 12 cities with a high homicide rate. And I'm like, the civil rights movement, one of the forefronts of the civil rights movement, too. And we have one of the highest homicide rates. And I'm like, I just admire these Hispanics that live next door, because they just, and then all my friends are different cultures. I'm like, well, why can't we just come together? Why we can't come together more?
Yeah, so-called Hispanics have two big pluses that we don't have. One is the Catholic Church. Even though the Catholic Church is a gangster organization with a lot of molestation of nuns and children, the Catholic Church supports Latinos because they're the number one support base of the Catholic Church in the world, Latino.
And I love the Catholic Church in my community. Right. Oh, that's a good point, because the church is right there. And
yeah, but what is our church doing for us?
Right. Recently here in Jackson, several clergy studied at the with the police, with the mayor and our police chief, and they had a 2-week class, and they're learning how to intervene to help prevent. Crimes.
So some of your clergy are working with the police?
Yes, they're working, I guess, more along the side to prevent and intervene.
Yeah, see, the police are not a social services organization. They're law enforcement. So for police who are known to be oppressive of our people to be working with our clergy, even though we could consider it somewhat of a positive, it's like the Nazi party working with white Jews, religious leaders to help them. Most young black people and folks like me will hear that and say, okay, this is a problem, because the police do not provide social services.
I've seen that, and many of the clergy I know and recognize, and I'm like, oh, that's amazing. But I'm like, the churches should just have also more of a perspective and have an open our doors more and say, come as you are. Because I think some people shy away from churches because they feel like they can't come as they are. Begin to meet people where they are. But I'll post that clip too on my social media, so you can see that local story. But you know, it's a start. But I know it was just saying too, like, okay, okay. But that, I guess that's part of the community policing, working with the community.
And also something that caught my attention in 2021, now that the year is just basically leaving, is the slogan, not to talk about politics again, but a lot of times how the Republicans or the conservative media use the term defund the police, you know? And a lot of people don't realize that when we say defund the police, we mean we cut their budget. We don't take away all police, services. We just, because let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
You're saying, and I'm glad you're saying that. And that's good to know too, because I'm on a defend the police side. It sounds like you're a defund the police, but you know what? I know what you're saying. Defunding means don't waste the dollars in areas that's not needed, but put the dollars in the right areas. Isn't that what it means?
Yeah. It's a mental health program.
Youth program.
Jobs. Yeah, to rec centers, And so, there's a lady that I listen to because I'm in Maryland, D.C. area, and her name is Dr. K.
Yeah, you're right there.
Dr. K.
I'll write her name down.
Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. And she was talking about the Philadelphia bombing in 1985. I think it's called the Moog bombing.
Oh, Moog. Yeah.
Yeah. And she was just saying how when they were shooting bombs at that Pan-African village in Philadelphia. And it was just horrible. It's like people, kids died. Yeah. You know, kids died in that bombing, and it's just like, and the mayor of Philadelphia, he just goes on about his life like he's some big hero because he knew about it, but he said nothing about the attack or something like that effect. Yeah.
Yeah, they dropped a bomb on them, and then as some of them tried to escape, they killed them, and they flooded the basement with water, making it extremely difficult to survive. The Move group reminds me of the Georgetown massacre, when Jim told the people to take the poison.
Now, what year was the Moon Groove?
I think in the 80s, early 80s.
Yeah, that was like 1985.
Okay, 85.
Okay, I was a teenager. Okay, wow.
I wasn't born yet.
Wow. I hear you. Wow. But you know a lot on this. Oh, my goodness. I need to research that. Wow. And that's not in that's not in the Deep South. That's Philadelphia. Oh,
Goodness. MOVE was similar to the Georgetown group in that they were black mostly and about black rights, but they also had white people in it, just like the Georgetown group that went down with Jim to Central America and killed themselves. Well, they killed themselves because they believed in him, but the government kept pursuing him, and it led to him, I think, losing his mind because he figured, nowhere can we go and get peace. We left America, and they're still pursuing us, right? Now, he did have some sexual encounters with some of the females. They were all adults. So he did participate in that, but that was no need to pressure him and drive him over the top. And it's the same with MOVE. MOVE was a mixed group, mainly black folks, Pan Africa, et cetera, but also some white people who said, hey, we all the same. Let's just work together, right? That's very dangerous to the status quo and to capitalism, because if there's a strong black movement with white people in it, it's a threat, especially if you're uncompromising on certain things. And so both groups remind me of each other in some ways, just like the Waco scenario. Only difference is Waco wasn't black people. It was mainly white people.
I thought about Waco. As you talk about this, as you talk about these two historic events, I thought about Waco. This sounds Waco.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Waco was simply a religious group that believed they had the rights to have guns. I'm not a guns person, but if people believe they want to exercise their constitutional rights, they can do so. And they were uncompromising again. They weren't doing anything out of the way. Uncompromising.
I have a friend who was one of the children at Waco. And I met her right here in Jackson. And when she told me she was part of the compound, my mouth dropped. I'm like, oh my God. She was one of the children. But oh my goodness. I'm like, no way. And she went into detail talking about the experience. And, I'm like, oh my goodness. Maybe I can ask her to come on and talk with us
about
that experience. Yeah.
She didn't say that the children were abused, right?
She didn't say anything
about
abuse.
I don't think the children were abused. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Abuse.
Yeah, I think there wasn't that type of party. It was
they
just
couldn't
a group
leave.
Of people that...
they couldn't leave, because I did get that understanding. They couldn't leave at will, but she didn't mention anything about abuse.
That's one scenario where I would draw the line and say, look, if the kids are being abused in the group, then... If the government F's you up, I'm not going to check. Like Dr. York. You heard of him?
No.
Malachi York is a black guy.
I've heard of Dr. York.
Yeah. I think they call themselves Nawayupians. They followed a guy that was a singer in Brooklyn, but he ended up molesting some of the children. And he did because he copped the plea, et cetera. So that situation, I'm like, okay, you crossed the line. But people that just want to exercise their freedom to get together, if they want to build a compound, build a compound. Rich people call it mansions. Yeah. A bunch of them share, you know?
Right.
Yeah. It is amazing. Yeah. So that's the fear of getting strong people together. That's why a lot of radio shows, et cetera, if it's too intense, they're under scrutiny because – this system cannot survive with intelligent people coming together to discuss and to deconstruct it. It can't survive. So it survives on violence, racism, sexism, and ignorance. Without violence, racism, sexism, and ignorance, this Anglo-Saudi Arabian Chinese empire would not survive, and what would be replacing it would be probably something that's much more humane and intelligent, where people are willing to share more and people are willing to be less violent and destructive. But to get that, how do you defeat psychopathic, sociopathic, violent people with peace? it's going to be extremely difficult because no matter what we say, we see what the right wingers are doing. We could say A, and they will argue and pull out a gun. My Bible, the Bible says I can, and blah blah. So.
Yeah.
It seems like you're reading my mind. Michael called me medium and intuitive, but you are definitely intuitive because I'm thinking about the underground and the mainstream rap artists, especially, who have been getting assassinated recently.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Where is all this coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, where is all this coming from? You mentioned people pull out the gun and, like, crazy.
Yeah.
Are you referencing underground hip-hop artists that are being more woke and conscious?
Well, the woke and conscious, no. I would be so glad when we have another awakening of the conscious and woke artists, rap artists and hip-hop artists. But so many recently in the past few years, this year alone, have been getting murdered.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just from the underground, from the up and coming, the ones that maybe 20,000 might know of, to the ones that are mainstream.
Yeah.
It baffles me how so many are being assassinated.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Quieting the young leaders and the ones that survive, like Chuck D, et cetera, don't still have the same level of financial success and media coverage. So they may not be dead physically, but in some ways they're dead in terms of fan base. And so they, if you can't kill them, you just squash them and, you know, don't give them much exposure.
Oh, that's a good point. You make a good point. Not just physical assassination, but some are, and we definitely need to hear from Liza Chadi. I mean, conscious rap artists and those that preach unity and coming together, we definitely need more. And even the ones that, you know, that's just their character, but they really do a lot in their communities.
Yeah.
And like Young Dolph recently, who was murdered, he did so much. I mean, he had his character, his persona, but then he, he was scheduled to do his annual turkey giving right before he was murdered. You know, so it's just,
And Gucci,
you know,
Man does a lot in the community. Gucci Man talks
a
lot
of
trash on records.
Song.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's just that they released the song about Young Dolph. Yeah, Gucci Man is another one. He's really and Lil Boosie. Their images are one thing, but they're good family men.
Yeah. Well, that's a part of the problem, though. Think about it. Why would a woke, conscious person have to put out product that's not woke and conscious? And I think the reason is because the woke, conscious consumers don't buy the product. So if you're in business, you need currency. Without the currency from the fans and the views and the likes and the shares, you don't get to where you need to be. So a lot of people compromise. KRS-One is probably one of the top three MCs lyrically ever, but KRS-One doesn't have 500 million in the bank, even though he should, right? So then why doesn't he? Well, woke people think that woke stuff should be free. They don't have the same respect for
it,
the shows, et cetera.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you woke, why are you charging? Because we got bills to pay.
Right. Exactly. Right.
So let me ask you this question, and you probably might know, both of you probably might know this is coming. What did you guys think about the Kyle Rittenhouse situation and him being acquitted? For and those fake tears he cried, you know. I mean, what did you think about that?
Oh, that's glory yours.
Well, I thought I had two mixed emotions. The first was a white guy can kill people and get away with it, but the logical side of me said if the police allowed him and he gave water, or they gave him some water, and if they saw what he was doing, it co-signed, right? Then the second thing is he was running when he did some of the shooting. He was being attacked, but he was there with a gun, so of course people are going to be intimidated. His situation wasn't as clear-cut as George Floyd, et cetera, to me logically, but emotionally I'm so tired seeing white guys get away with murder that I was disappointed. But the logic, and plus, if the judge is setting up the tone so that he gets off, what is the jury going to do? The judge is cutting you off here and don't do this and go that way. The judge is leading you to this guy is a good guy. And you as a juror have to stick within the judge's, well, I shouldn't say have to, but they definitely will impact your thinking, especially if you're a person on the fence who isn't, like, really woke to the level that we're discussing.
And then you have to think about your life. You have to think about your life after court, too.
True. And your career. So, yeah, I wasn't surprised that he got off, but it was emotionally disappointing. Yeah, but we got to do better overall.
Yeah. My stuff is similar to Otep. Someone asked me about it, and I know once I videoed a conference where the late Gregory spoke, and Dr. Cornel West, and Dick Gregory talked about people, white-on-white crime, black-on-black crime. Someone asked me about that, and I'm thinking, well, it was white-on-white, but then you have to look at the type of event it was that was being held. It was in protest for the gentleman that was shot several times. And here in Mississippi, so many whites and Jews were murdered too, trying to help blacks get the right to vote and just have freedom in the 60s. I have similar feelings to Otep. I heard that he's biracial too. I heard that he's biracial. I don't know how true. I haven't gone and done my research if he's biracial or not, but I heard that he's biracial. So I don't know how true.
No, I haven't heard anything.
I need to do my research. I hear that he's biracial. I don't know biracial, black or another race, Hispanic or what, but I hear that he's biracial. Mm. But I have my thoughts are very similar to Otep. My thoughts are similar to, he was 16 or 17 when it happened. Oh, what were his parents? My parents were never really brought into this. Because he was under 18. I know you can be 16 and 17 and own a weapon, but like a kid that killed his classmates in Detroit and his parents were held accountable, why weren't there some type of accountability here? I always thought this from the beginning. Why his parents weren't ever brought into the accountability of him owning a weapon and traveling out of...
I don't know. But, you know, and I think the one thing with these situations has taught us, especially within the past year, is that white privilege exists. It exists. It is real as day. I mean, you know, one thing that kind of disturbed me, and I know that we're going back, but do you all remember back in the midst of the pandemic when the guy was in the in New York, Manhattan, and he was bird watching? And the lady caught an attitude. Yeah, and she said, "I'm going to say that an African American, you know, man is harassing me and all this stuff and threatening me." And I am so grateful that that brother recorded that, you know, because if he didn't, he would have been dead, you know.
Yep.
Didn't she work at, like, a prominent company? And she was fired.
Yeah,
I think
she had to leave
the position.
But listen, he forgave her. He forgave her.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, bro, what? He made us look stupid. So, in other words, you can abuse us, call the police on us, everything. I forgive you. I love you so much. Like, what is wrong? So then we have no cases in court if we all just forgive for the abuse.
You know, we remember her. She was one of the original Karens. Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. Yeah. Yes. I mean, yeah. Jesus, you're going to have me pulling that Karen up, looking at that video. And then she got upset and offended because she was fired. She embarrassed her job. She had a pretty good job, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she voted for Barack Obama, too.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, it just shows you. It just shows you what is out there, you know? And, you know, I think we, the nation could learn some lessons from these past 2 years, you know? And I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier to the guests is that to the caller, I mean, is that there are some lessons we can learn from, I mean, you know, from 2021 and 2020. But the thing is, how are we going to move forward? What can we do to improve ourselves or progress, you know? So I think that's what I got from you as you were talking when you called in.
Yeah, an additional part that I was trying to – well, not trying to. That is a part of my inherent thinking is you said the lessons. What lessons have we learned? I do not think that for America in general and Europe and Saudi Arabia, they care about the lessons. They know the deal, the leaders. I think that the lessons are for people on the fence and for black people in the struggle. I don't think Elon Musk and certain groups of people care. And either they don't care because they're profiting, or they don't care because they already know the truth that we're the original Hebrew people from Ethiopia and from parts of Egypt under Akhenaten, who was King Tut's father, the first person to write about monotheism. The new Jews, the white Jews, are the converts, but they never say that, so we assume that they're the real Jews. They wouldn't have been in Israel. They were going to be, I think, in Zimbabwe or Uganda. No other European nation wanted them because they were kicked out from nation to nation because they work together, but they conquer your financial system, and people don't like that. No European nation would take them. It's not about, I think, educating the top people. They know the truth. The Catholic Church has catacombs where they hide a lot of the secret info about groups, in particular us and our history. They have a black Madonna. Uh-huh. It's us as the dark people and a few white and Asian people on the fence who say, you know what, I don't want to be a racist or a pure capitalist. They're the ones. Well, they're not usually the ones with the billions or the ones with the big financial military power. So how do we get them on board, and how do we take over a system that could just press a button and destroy everybody? And that's going to be very tricky because we don't want to – yeah, we don't want to have that happen.
Right. Right. Because we all have non-black friends that are Caucasian that despise racism.
Yeah.
Despise it more
My
than mother's us.
Father was a white guy from Italy.
Yes.
So it's not color, really. The ancient Greeks worshipped us.
Right.
They worshipped Imhotep of Egypt for thousands of years, who brought in the skin color racism. Other than a few instances when in some tribes in Africa, light skin was considered either a curse or a blessing, it was a small group and they didn't have any big power to take over. The two groups that brought in skin color racism were the Aryans from Iran, when they took over the Indus Valley civilization thousands of years ago, and Alexander the so-called Great took over Egypt that was called Kem, the land Kemet. That's when skin color, that's when our people started catching hell, because both groups used religion. Alexander those took over, and they made most of the gods light skin or white, changed the names. And in Indus Valley, they did the same thing with Hinduism, and they made the Dalit, the people at the bottom, the darkest people, are so impossible to fit in. They don't even have a caste. They're caste-less, and that's us, our people at the bottom there. That's when this kept spiraling, and both groups started getting more power. The Indus Valley impacted Hitler because Hitler took some symbols that he thought were German research, but it was actually Indus Valley symbols and comprehension, and he turned it into the Aryan nation because the Aryan was the Arya from Iran. So that's the confusion. They took stuff that was sometimes black, made it white, whitewashed it, and then used our own stuff against us. Alexander and Ptolemy's rule did the same thing. So our stuff got hijacked, used against us, and now we're supposed to be at the bottom, inferior to the group that learned from us. The student now has become the teacher, but is unqualified to be the teacher. Only qualification is violence.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
Right. I always made sure when I was a little child that I was taught Black history at home and self-taught. And that amazed me when I studied one of the books, the Black book. You probably know what book I'm talking about, the Black book. And I've seen the symbol. It's supposed to be a symbol, but it's really, really originated in Africa. And I'm like, I mean, it really, it was, I'm like, that was just ignorant then. There's some racists at a school in California, like in the past couple of weeks, that have, that painted their bodies. And all I could think about is what you just mentioned, the original meaning of it. When a lot of people that don't know the true meaning of an origin, but Black people in that area are like in fear. But I'm like, if only they knew, they're showing their ignorance because they don't even know the origin. They think they're promoting Hitler. But if they were study, they would find out the true meaning.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why critical race theory is so important, because without knowing the history, both sides are ignorant. One side thinks they're superior, when in actuality, the other side is the one that did the work to make you rich. Therefore, you owe reparations to that group. You owe an apology to that group, and you owe a high level of, education is critical, and a part of education history is often whitewashed, because to the victor today goes the spoils and the story. And, it's going to be tough to overcome, but it can be done. We have enough hardworking, smart, creative people to change this system. But who knows if the system will use their system, violence, to resist the peaceful movement, just like Martin Luther King got popped. Malcolm X was being peaceful. He got popped. You know, South Africa, they got popped. Patrice Lumumba got killed, being peaceful as a leader. Thomas Sankara killed. In Grenada, killed, even though the brother Maurice Bishop was helping women, helping the poor, I mean, doing a tremendous job. They dropped in troops and killed him. So we're going to get to the point where it's like, okay, we're getting groups together and a movement. Now what? What if they just come and kill us? That's something that really has to be factored in. Not just kill physically, but of course kill the career by spreading some gossip or find something you slept with someone else when you were married, and they say, oh, there he goes down. You know, it's going to take an intelligence component and a self, because we already had Black Wall Street, and look what happened. They got crushed, and some of them got killed. You know, but then if you start talking self-defense, et cetera, like Wesley Snipes was doing before he was jailed, then it becomes, oh, this group is dangerous, and they throw the T word out. So we can't even, in many cases, do martial arts, own guns, and talk about Black empowerment without secret agencies investigating us. It's like, okay, we're in bad shape. The British government actually has had as a group to investigate anybody that used the peace symbol and talked peace in Britain. Not war, but hey, we want peace. And they put, I think it's MI5 or MI6, one of those types of groups. I don't recall the lettering. So investigate. And when I learned that, I thought, oh my goodness, if you're talking peace, they consider you an enemy in some cases. That's so if you talk peace, you could be an enemy. If you talk aggression and war, you're an enemy. So what do they want us to be? Just go with the flow. Just be quiet. Go along like a slave, mental and physical. Don't talk about aggression and don't talk about peace. Well, what do? Whatever we say, nigga. And that's kind of crazy. But that's what they want us in. It's called in dance, it's called limbo. And they want us in limbo.
Wow. Wow. This is like a deep session. This is like a deep session. I'm learning a lot of things from you.
Oh, thank you. I'm honored, because I spent a lot of time trying to just, I lived in a lot of nations and met you traditional university and got some accolades. But I'm trying to do as much as I can as I get older to empower and teach what I know, and the areas that I have error or flaws, someone else that's younger or my age can say, oh, okay, on that way, his research didn't come to the right conclusion, but at least we know not to go that way, because he has already done it, and like, oh, no, his conclusion is wrong because of A, B, C, D, the premises are wrong, or premises and conclusion right, but his overall conclusion's wrong. So, yeah, I'm trying my best, but, It's a balancing act. Yeah, yeah.
But you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, when I listened to that lady, Dr. K, she just basically talks about it's like a 2-hour talk show. And it's about most of the things that happen in Baltimore, Maryland. And I don't know if you know that Baltimore, Maryland has a lot of issues right now, you know. And, you know, it's like they say – she was complaining on her show that, like, the governor of Maryland, which is Governor Joe Hogan, he treats Baltimore like gum on the bottom of his shoe. And, you know – and the thing is that Baltimore has just recently reached its 300th homicide, and they are trying to find out why all this killing and stuff is going on in Baltimore. And because they were talking about a murder that happened recently where a 69-year-old woman was stabbed to death while opening up the church. And and it's like, you know, now with the pandemic, it's just like everything is just going just crazy, you know, and then kids are suffering from this pandemic. And, you know, sometimes I have to give the show a break because it is majorly depressing. It is very depressing. I mean, you know, I just have to just listen to something else or cut the radio off to get my peace of mind. So, you know, some of the things that you're talking about, it reminds me of the things that she talks about on her show.
Okay.
Yeah. Her name is Dr. K. Wise Whitehead.
Wise Whitehead.
Yeah. 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 So she is very, she's taught me a lot of things over the past year. I didn't really start listening to her until a couple of days after we had that little January 6th
insurrection.
And you know, I got to say, and her take on it was very interesting when she was talking about how parents were telling on their kids, nieces were telling on their aunts. It's like everybody was telling on everybody. And, you know, it's just amazing how the jobs that the people had who participated in that riot. You had pastors, you had teachers, you had
police officers.
And you know, and I really think that when I think about January 6th, I really think that Trump definitely should pay in some way. I think that some of the victims, like AOC, Alexandria, I don't know how to say her name, but she is suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome from that insurrection that Trump started, you know, and people are saying, oh, Trump didn't have anything to do with it, but we heard him, the whole world heard him on tape, you know, it's just really sad what you can get, what you can get away with if you have X amount of money and you're white, you know? So it's just really sad.
Even having it on tape, just like Rodney King's beating, the hard evidence, the video, et cetera, doesn't often matter.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It does not, you know? And also we're reeling from a police shooting that happened in April, and I think not too far from where George Floyd, but she shot a 20-year-old, and she said that she thought her gun was her taser. So,
Kim Porter, right?
Yeah, Kim Porter. Yeah, that's what they're. Everybody's reacting to right now, but I definitely agree, like I said earlier, that we need to defund the police or retrain or reimagine. And, you know, when I was listening to Dr. K, and she was just saying that maybe what needs to happen, the whole system needs to be torn down. You know, it needs to be, something needs to just be knocked down, and just, we need to start all over, because if the same thing is happening over and over again, you know, I could count on hand how many times over the past 7 years that we have seen black men die at the hands of police. You know, you have the Eric Garner, you have the Freddie Gray, you have, Sandra Bland and all this stuff. There's a problem. There's a problem in America, you know?
Well, don't forget we're killing ourselves also in crimes against each other, street crimes.
Yes.
So the deeper issue is black people dying at alarming rates compared to their white counterparts in the same community and state for the equal comparison, and that's probably various factors, the main one being that we are considered expendable if we can create more wealth by dying. So if a black person is killed, it creates more wealth for the court system, for the police, for the district attorney, for the person that goes to jail. It also creates wealth for the mortician, no diss to morticians, but of course they make money off it. It creates wealth for the DA and for the whole system. And then the media gets free news coverage, whereas you have to pay maybe $1 million to produce a TV show, a cheap episode. You don't have to do all that. You just send out a news team with a camera, and you've got news. And people will watch it just as much as they'll watch an expensive TV show. So, hey, the media makes money. And then it tells the system that we're expendable and we're thugs and we're ugly and we're brutal, because here comes another black person killing another black person. Here comes a white cop that had to brutalize a black person because we just don't know how to behave and shut up when they tell us to tap dance. Yeah, it's America is sick at the core, and until we deal with the core, it's hard to fix the apple because the core is so rotten, you know?
Yeah, and the sad thing about it, it's been going on for hundreds of years,
And,
I don't know what to say, yeah.
We'll overcome. We just got to
Bethany
continue.
Is a little bit quiet over there. I haven't heard nothing from Bethany.
Yeah, she's probably, she may have, muted herself or, something like that, getting some coffee. Like, I'm making some tea. I like tea with lemon and honey and agave, et cetera.
But, you know, I cannot tell you, you know, how glad I am that, and I don't mean to make it seem like I have Trump derangement syndrome, but I cannot tell you how glad I am that this man is not president, you know. But you got to remember the pushback that is going on right now. You know, there's a pushback. You know, they're doing voter suppression, and they're just doing everything in their power to make it difficult for minorities to vote.
All minorities, because terms like minority, I used to use to apply to us, and then I realized that there are other minorities that aren't having the voting problems, that run the mathematics, that are the accountants and lawyers. I think it's really the marginalized black minority in America, and that's us. Because what happens is a lot of other groups, for better or worse, take our pain and plight, market it for themselves, and then they're like, yeah, you don't like how black people are being treated, right? Yeah, so give us more love. And we're like, wait a minute, but what about us, the black people? Why are you using us as a card on the table, you know? There are a lot of groups that have done that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like they say, oh, yeah, I'm brown. I don't consider myself in the brown category because the